You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Thank you for joining me in this third week of May, 2026. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, we find, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him." Nahum 1, 7. This is a Christian legal ministry. First, because we're Christian, and then because we're lawyers, and we advocate for religious liberties, freedom of conscience, the right of the people to freely live out their faith in the public square, the marketplace, anywhere that the Christian finds himself or herself. We bring you a weekly briefing of religious liberty news. We try to get behind the headlines with analysis and commentary, but from a biblical worldview. Very important, a biblical worldview to help us be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. As we're commanded in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always be ready to give a reason for the hope. Let's start with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." And I found this. Page 1. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Talking about money and treasure, we talk about it because the Lord talks about it, and as we go through Scripture, He gets on the subject of money, treasure. So we'll get on it for page 1 of the report this week. In the Gospel of Matthew, the subject of money comes up 109 times. In the Gospel of Mark, 57 times. The Gospel of Luke, 94 times. And in the Gospel of John, we read about money 88 times. Scripture's full of talks about money, 5 times more than he talks about any other subject in the Bible. You'd think this is important to God and to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Simple statement. 2 treasuries. Don't invest it here, invest it there. For where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. Now, this doesn't mean God forbids wealth or possessions or labor. He doesn't forbid bank accounts, savings accounts, life insurance policies, or even wise investments. Is this what the Bible commands? We can cite the rich young ruler. In Matthew, Jesus said to him, "Sell all you have and give it to the poor." Others say, "Have you noticed that the rich young ruler is the only person he ever really said that to? Did you notice that he didn't say that to Mary or Martha? He liked to go to their house. He liked to be welcomed in their home." We know that what the Lord really meant is that this rich young ruler should sell all he had, because that is what stood between him and God. And until he got rid of that, there was no connecting up with God. No, this is not a rejection of private property or ownership, or why we read in Deuteronomy 28, I'll put you in the land. I'll prosper your families, your cattle, your sheep, your crops. The Lord is not saying we shouldn't possess anything. In fact, in Exodus 20:15, Scripture tells us, thou shalt not steal. And the very statement of God in the Decalogue, thou shalt not steal, assumes that something can be mine that you can't have or shouldn't have. That's right. We do have rights to possessions, private property. That's why the Bible talks about not stealing. Because people have a right to their possessions. You have no right to steal what is mine. You don't even have a right to want what is mine. In Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet. The Lord recognizes the right of ownership of goods, of possessions, of personal property. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira owned a piece of property, and they said, hey, let's sell the property. We'll give all the money to the Lord. They made a big announcement about it. We're going to sell our property and give all the money to the Lord. You know, the Bible doesn't tell them to do that. God didn't tell them to give all their money to the Lord. They chose to do it. They wanted to do it voluntarily. So what happens in Acts 5? They sell their property, and then they see all that money, and they said, oh, we were going to give what to the Lord? No, let's keep some back. And the Lord knocked them dead in front of the whole church, flat dead. But before he did, he gave a message. He gave a message to them through Peter. Ananias, why hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And if after it was sold, was it not in your own power? In other words, Ananias, Sapphira, they owned it. It was theirs. They had power over it, control. They didn't have to sell it. They didn't have to promise it. The issue was that they lied to God. They took what was not theirs. Once they had given it in promise, they needed to follow that through. So yes, Scripture does provide and allow and even promote the right to possess things. He wants more than anything is to be sure that our attitude is right in the manner in which we possess them. For example, in Deuteronomy 8:18, we find, for it is God that gives you the power to become wealthy. Deuteronomy 8:18. God has given us the power to obtain wealth. He's given us the resources, the abilities. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, and what do you have that you did not receive? Implying that God himself is giving you everything. 1 Timothy 6:17, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. God is not withholding from us. He's a God of great generosity. God is a God of generosity. Did you know that the very rich man Abraham was called a friend of God? Did you know that business, for example, and wise banking principles were encouraged by our Lord in his parables in Matthew 25 and Luke 19? And remember, God made Job wealthier than he had been before. And he was wealthy before. So much that he couldn't hardly count it. And in the New Testament, we find Zacchaeus, the tax collector, rich, and yet counted to be called a son of Abraham. Again and again in the book of Proverbs, the Bible encourages us to be careful how we handle our resources, our funds, our treasure, our money. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Turning to page 2. Crises rarely appear without warning. The signals are almost always present, but they require attention. Right now, those signals are clearly visible. Fertilizer prices rising, farmers cutting back their usage, their crops, governments intervening, fiscal pressure building. Now, this does not guarantee a crisis, but they increase the probability of one. One of the conundrums of the war in Iran is why the economy markets have not been more badly affected. The price of oil and gas at the pump are up about 50% since the war began, but the effects of the closure of the Strait of Hormuz have not been as extreme. Consider this. That 34% of the trade in crude oil for the whole world, it comes out of the Gulf. 19% of global output of liquefied natural gas, LNG, and 30% of petroleum gas, 13% of chemicals, fertilizers, 19% of refined oil products, 10% of global aluminum. So why hasn't the economic damage been worse? Some cite the floating pipeline of supplies that had left the Gulf before the war broke out in late February. But this floating pipeline took weeks to reach their destinations. This means that supplies kept coming through March and into early April. But these floating pipelines have now run dry. Reserves are running out. The real crunch is coming. Markets are said to be good predictors, but really they're not. They usually run on narratives and then react abruptly when the narrative crashes into reality. Page 3, I found this. A major warning that we need to draw closer to God because there will be a test to your faith, to our faith. Everyone is talking about how the Pentagon, the government, is going to release classified documents, supposedly proving the existence of UFOs, of aliens. But that's not even the scariest part, because according to sources, the government held a briefing with pastors, Christian pastors across the country, telling them to warn and prepare everyone at the same time. According to this new report, a plan is in place to slowly prepare Americans for what could be coming. This new report cites prominent pastors and priests across the United States being gathering and being briefed by intelligence officials to start preparing Christians for information about alien life that can change the way we all think about our place in the universe. Pastors were supposedly told about the existence of reptilian creatures, UFOs, materials from a non-human origin that could sound like something out of a sci-fi movie. Some congressmen and women have been talking about, quote, hybridization programs. A lot of theories, a lot of things being thrown around, and a lot of craziness, a lot of lies possibly swirling around this. And that's why we need to make sure we stay close to the truth. Here's the false flag. There are other creations in the galaxies, and that the whole creation story of the Bible is a myth, and that the concern is that people ultimately find out the truth, whatever that is, and then there is panic, and then they'll believe a lie to be the truth, and then they'll detach from the faith that holds their lives and this country together. The false flag. In fact, Richard Dawkins, the author of The God Delusion, suggested that aliens seeded life on Earth. And this has been a prominent theory among atheists, that this is the case. Aliens seeded life on the planet. But all this distracts from what the Bible says. And that's the point, to take us a way to distract away from the Bible. Pull people away from Christ. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. May 2026, reporting on aliens and what does the Bible say about aliens? But how do we look at this from a biblical worldview? Is the idea of aliens, extraterrestrial, alien life, is that really biblical? As Christians, we should constantly examine ideas in light of Scripture. So what does the Bible tell us? In a biblical worldview, we don't expect alien life to exist. Plain and simple, the Bible tells us Earth was formed to be inhabited, and the other celestial bodies were created for signs, seasons, days, and years. It was to Earth that Jesus came to save, not to another planet to save another race of beings. The interdimensional UFO hypothesis is the proposal that UFOs are the result of experiencing other dimensions or portals that coexist separately alongside our own. This interdimensional UFO hypothesis. Is anyone out there? Are we alone in the universe? Is belief in alien life related to the belief in evolution? Does God's plan include aliens on other planets? Are we ready for conversations with ET? Alien abductions, are they fact or fiction? Is belief in alien life harmless? Are aliens going to hell? How's this? Did Jesus die for aliens too? Should we not alienate the aliens? You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Some of the questions that we're covering on the UFO hypotheses and trying to approach this from a biblical worldview, because in recent years, in recent months and days, the headlines are growing more audacious, more bold. Right out of the White House, State Department, Central Intelligence, Hollywood. Let's not forget that a few months ago, Age of Disclosure was put out with high-level government officials commenting on the subject. And this summer, we'll have Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day. Here's some audio from the trailer.
What did you steal?
Secrets. The data they paid me to protect.
Are they people?
Little audio from Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day, the official trailer by Universal Pictures, coming out in just a few days, really, June 12th, 2026. And I found this. I share it with you. What was once hidden in whispers is now being trumpeted by world leaders. We are not alone. But let me tell you something. We are alone. We're alone in the sense that we are the only creatures made in the image of God. We are alone in the moral universe, under the sovereignty of the one true God. There are no benevolent extraterrestrials orbiting some distant star system, waiting to descend and offer us peace. This is not reality. This is not scripture. That is deception. And the world is hurtling faster and faster towards this deception, blinded by its own arrogance and desperation, searching the skies, having rejected the God of heaven, inventing saviors in the stars, despising the Savior who hung on the cross. Let me be clear. This fixation, obsession with aliens, with visitations, otherworldly, this is nothing new. It's ancient. So ancient that we find it in Genesis. Ancient as the father of lies himself. Paul warned us that this would happen in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read, "A day is coming when God himself will send a strong delusion upon those who have rejected the truth, and they will believe the lie." The lie has taken many shapes throughout history, and today it's repackaging itself, rebranding itself as science fiction, science fact. That's how the deception works. It works because it parades itself as light, as a wonder, miraculous hope. Revelation 13 tells us plainly, "The coming beast will perform great signs from heaven. He will call fire down. He will astound the nations. He will deceive them by false wonders." The ground is being prepared now. The soil is being watered with curiosity, fear, unbelief. What we call aliens, extraterrestrials today, Scripture calls lying spirits, demons, principalities, rulers of darkness. They've always been here, not on Mars or Venus, Zeti Reticuli, but here, working in unseen realms, waiting for their appointed hour. The deception is not future, it's already begun. What is now masquerading as cosmic visitors is in reality the same old rebellion, repackaged for today. A strong delusion. So some may ask, how can you be certain? How can we know for sure with such full conviction that what the world calls aliens is in truth a form of deception? Well, it's because this is precisely what the Bible has told us to expect. The Word of God has never left this question unanswered. From the beginning to the end, it unveils a spiritual battle raging beyond the veil of human sight. And this deception, like all deceptions, is rooted not in some distant galaxy, but in the ancient rebellion of Lucifer and the heart of man. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in the Spirit, words of thunder that echo through the corridors of history and into our own confused and deceived generation. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, mark it. It reads, "The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be accompanied by the activity of Satan with all powers and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. For this reason, Paul says, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe the lie. There it is, the lie. Not a harmless fable, not an idle myth, but a deception crafted by hell itself. And whoever has read Scripture to any extent will know that the deception will not look like what people expect. It will come masquerading, draped in marvels, wonders, spectacles that defy natural explanation. Understand this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12 makes it plain. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What the world mistakes for extraterrestrial is in fact spiritual. What they may want to greet as friendly visitors are nothing less than ancient enemies. in disguise. Principalities, powers, demonic spirits. One goal: to blind the minds of the unbelieving and keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. It's not about little green men. It's about the old serpent, the father of lies, weaving yet another scheme in the long war against the truth. It's no coincidence that society is growing darker, colder, more rebellious against God. A fascination with the paranormal, the extraterrestrial, the unexplained, growing and becoming feverish. Television glorifies it, movies celebrate it. The government is now whispering it from behind podiums with unsettling calm. We do not know what these craft are, but we know they are real. Well, let me tell you something. What they are is ancient. What they are is malevolent. And what they are is demonic. The Bible is not silent on this. Demonic forces have always masqueraded as beings of light, offering forbidden knowledge, forbidden power, forbidden salvation. In Genesis, fallen angels sought to corrupt mankind. In Revelation, demons emerge from the abyss. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. May 2026, reporting on demonic forces masquerading as beings of light. How there will not be an alien rescue, no cosmic saviors descending from the stars, because there's only one savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other so-called miracle, every light in the sky that draws a man away from the word of God is not of heaven. That is why we must be alert, vigilant, and cling to the word of God, because the world is not simply sliding towards deception, it's racing toward it. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. I'll leave you with this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Alexander Alfano signing off for the Religious Liberty Report. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, God bless you. And God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report. You could